You want to have something actually working and tested by the end of the semester. What are some of the things that have to happen between now and then? Well, one of the things that has to happen is you're going to have to try to build this thing pretty quickly. Because you're going to actually have to build this thing two or three times before you get it right. So what I decided to do this semester is to put a lot of weight on this iterative process of actually building your deliverables. So 30% of your grade, 10% each for each one of the iterations, the single largest chunk of your grade will be on these three attempts to, what I think will be three attempts to build the system. We'll do three checkoffs. One at about, and I'll show you the schedule in a moment, but three checkoffs throughout the semester. We'll have the usual process of weekly deliverables like we did last semester. Every Monday morning, things will be due and they'll be graded. The design document, 10% of your grade. The website, 10%. And then your final, your presentations. Now, what I'm going to try this semester is to use advisor evaluations as an additional 25% extra credit. So the way this will work is that I will ask your advisor, I will tell your advisor, here's roughly what the grade for that person is going to be. You tell me, you know, if you think that's fair and if it should go up or down. It's been hard to get the advisors to do really detailed feedback on the teams, but generally they're willing to tell me, well, the grade should be moved this way or that way and give me some justification for that. So as usual, keep your advisors happy, keep your advisors in the loop. They can also knock your grade down. If an advisor tells me they've never seen you, you know, which I don't think we have that problem now. I think we're past a lot of that. But if, you know, keep your advisors in the loop. Now, the websites. I want to talk a little bit about the websites today. What am I looking for in the websites as a final deliverable? What? Easy?
Yeah. Prettiness.
What? Prettiness, right? Someone said prettiness?
Yeah.
How many people believe that? Be honest. Probably most of you believe that, right? If I do some really fancy graphics and some spinning stuff on the front page, I'll wow him and he'll sign off on it, right?
Play a little song.
Play a song, you know, show starving children in a third world country are now using your device and attending college and all that stuff, you know. What's going to be most important the day you walk out of here in with regard to your website?
Content.
What kind of content? Well, but what kind of content? I mean, you could throw all sorts of extraneous stuff in there. So when you leave, what is going to happen to your website? There's a couple things that are going to happen. First, the next generation of senior design students are going to look at your websites and maybe want to build on top of your project. And they're going to start asking questions like, you know, where are your schematics? What particular chip did you use? Or what particular material did you use for that? The other thing that happens, which is interesting, is that we will get companies, we will get individuals wanting to license your technology. We'll get a lot of people that are trying to access your website to learn about your projects. And they will contact me and say, you know, can you get hold of these students? And I'll say, I don't know, I haven't seen them in 5 years, because we want to buy that technology from them. Actually, I've had students actually sell their senior design projects for thousands of dollars. So your website needs to be a complete archive of the project. You should be able to replicate your project from the information on your website. Because if it were that easy, you all wouldn't be sitting here scared to death about your own projects, right? If you could replicate projects from what you've read on the internet, would we need engineers?
Reverse engineering. Have you seen the Chinese?
So we were talking about that, actually. I'll give you two quick stories about that. and one I was told in Senior Design 1, we have a group this semester doing a, what's called a data glove. They had this simple idea that they're going to build a glove where you can move your hand and it will track it in 3D on the computer screen, right? So you can do all sorts of cool demos and things. And they came to me and they said, here's a YouTube video on how this is done. So we sat down and we watched the video. And in the video, it's a really cute, you know, really well done video. The guy shows how he basically assembled this glove in half a day out of a few dollars in parts, and voila, it works. And it's a YouTube video, right? So everything, you know, it's shot and kind of, he shows himself in time-lapse photography, assembling it and everything, and it's done and it works, right? So they agree to do this project based on that video. Because like you say, hey, it's all there, right? The guy claims you can assemble this in a half a day's time, and you got it. And I, of course, have signed off on it because I've actually had students try to do this kind of a project before, and I know a little bit about what's involved. And I knew, watching the demo, that the guy was hiding a lot of stuff. So all summer now, they've been discussing this project and realizing that just about everything in that demo was fabricated, was sort of faked. In fact, what he didn't show you in the demo is that when you hold your hand with that glove, the position drifts all over the computer screen because there's a big problem with drift and some of these really practical issues. And then they're finding out that the chips involved are a lot more complicated than they thought. And, you know, the more they dig into this, the more they realize they've got a monster, actually a very difficult project on their hands. Because not only do they now not know how to do the sensing and all that stuff, but they also realize they need a lot of software and a microprocessor, and no one in the group is a software person. So beware what you read on the internet. The internet is often, it's very hard to actually it's hard to reverse engineer your projects from the documents you write, even though you think those documents are really thorough. Now I would like for it to be very easy to re-engineer your projects, but that takes a lot more information than you think. We have another group doing a locator device, and what they don't understand is that when they open up the one that they bought that they think they're going to model, they think all they have to do is just build this thing that already exists. So you buy one of these little locator devices, open it up. When they open it up, what they're going to find out is there's just a chip in there, and the chip does everything, and they have no idea what software is in that chip, and the whole project evolves around the software in that chip. So you can't reverse engineer that project without actually seeing the code that was written for that project, and you won't find that on the internet. Now, I would like you to put code and other things out on your websites, but even so, it's pretty hard to reverse engineer these projects from what's on a website. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. Also, you don't appreciate the experience that you've acquired in doing these projects, and that's actually your value added as engineers. So the more details you expose, the more people would want to hire you, for example, for that expertise. So the website should be pretty thorough. They should contain not just your documents, not just your blogs and all that stuff, but actual schematics, data, descriptions of tests that you ran, descriptions of equipment you used to run experiments. You know, just about everything you do with respect to the project should get archived, should get documented and archived and put on the website. So when I grade the websites at the end of the second semester, I'll be grading them from a point of view, very simple point of view of, can I replicate this project from the information that's on your website? And can I understand all the issues the team faced through the course of two semesters? Is there a nice paper trail on design changes and all those kinds of things? Now that's valuable to you because as we've talked about, when you go to job interviews, your potential employers will actually look at these websites and that's what you will discuss during your job interview. That's very, very common. So the more detail, the better, because then they see, okay, you really do know how to write code. You can show them the actual code you've written. That carries a lot more weight than having an interviewer play some games about whether you can write code. or pictures of you being on site. You know, if some of you who are going on site to do measurements and stuff, make sure you get some pictures of that, so that it shows you've done some real work on this project. So, any questions on that, or thus far? I mean, most of this should be pretty familiar. So let me talk next about the deliverables. So we start next Monday, or before next Monday, since Monday's a holiday, with doing a website check. Make sure that your team, you know, the usual things. We've done a few of these before in this class. Your team, your advisors, your project title, and your abstract. Make sure those are all in sync. I was talking to the Senior Design 1 students about this on Tuesday, and if you remember in this class, how long did it take before number 1 was satisfied for the entire class? Probably it was pretty close to the end of the semester.